During his campaign, Donald Trump raised the prospect of banning Muslims from entering the U.S. Here's how he justified it on ABC's Good Morning America last December.
What I'm doing is no different than what FDR's solution for Germans, Italians, Japanese, you know, many years ago.
So you're for internment camps?
This is a president who was highly respected by all. He did the same thing. If you look at what he was doing, it was far worse.
It caused a firestorm, and Trump began talking about a registry of Muslims. Then this week, Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach, who's on Trump's transition team, told Reuters that Trump advisors were considering a registry, but of immigrants and visitors from predominantly Muslim countries. And last night on Fox News, Trump supporter Carl Higbee, co-chair of the Super PAC Great America, circled back to Trump's original campaign language to defend that registry idea. Here's Higbee with Megyn Kelly.
To be perfectly honest, it is legal. They say it'll hold constitutional muster. I know the ACLU is going to challenge it, but I think it'll pass. And we've done it with Iran back a while ago. We did it during World War II with Japanese, which, you know, call it what you
Come
will,
on.
maybe
you're
wrong.
Not, you're not proposing we go back to the days of internment camps, I hope.
No. I'm not proposing that at all, Megan. But what I am saying is that we need to protect
America. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets people scared, Carl.
Right. But I'm just saying there is precedent for it.
Well, is he right? Dahlia Lithwick covers courts and the law for Slate. She joins us from Charlottesville, Virginia. Hi, Dahlia.
Hi there, Robin.
So let's parse all of this. You hear Carl Higbee citing the U.S. internment of Japanese during World War II as precedent for registering Muslims. Is it legal precedent?
Well, Carl Higbee is in fact correct that the 1944 Korematsu decision, which split the court 6-3, but in fact upheld the conviction of somebody who had challenged his internment, is still technically good law. Now, it is widely regarded as the lowest moment for civil liberties, up there with Dred Scott, mm-hmm. said Antonin Scalia, in terms of our most shameful decisions.
Let's just back up there. This is Antonin Scalia, the late Antonin Scalia, one of the most conservative members of the court. He thought that this internment was one of America's lowest moments.
Yes. Congress has reported that it was actually overruled by the court of history. Presidents have apologized to the internees in the camps. And yet still it stands as good law. And I would say, Robin, the principle that's enshrined in Korematsu, which is that the president has vast powers over immigration, particularly when there are national security issues, that principle, even though we all agree Korematsu was a disaster, that principle is still very much upheld by the courts. And so I think you can worry a little bit that this is not just an outlier opinion. It's of a long line of views that when the president says he's doing it for national security, the courts step back.
Well, and we should say Donald Trump's advisors, according to Chris Kobach, a Kansas Secretary of State who's on the transition team, are talking about a registry of immigrants and visitors from Muslim countries. They're talking about a registry, not an internment camp. But remind us how that internment camp came to be. This was President Franklin D. Roosevelt. He signed Executive Order 1066, FDR, authorizing this.
That's right. I think there was just a general panic and a feeling that, and it was a feeling that was very much fed inside the White House and inside the military, that Japanese nationals in the United States were cooperating with the Japanese military to undermine U.S. security. And so they went ahead and created, you know, loyalty oaths and this mass internment that literally left Japanese American families. They had to abandon their homes and their property and go register at camps. And I think that it's technically true what Chris Kobach is saying. We are not talking about interning nationals. What he's talking about is a program that was existing during the Bush administration, and it was defunct in 2011. President Obama shut it down. But there is a program for registering non-citizens who are here on all sorts of visas, particularly tourist visas and travel visas, only from Muslim-majority countries. And so we do have a sort of apparatus to do that. And while it doesn't look like internment camps, the principle is the same.
You said a couple of things. So a Supreme Court case decided that FDR's executive order allowing internment camps because of fears of security, that was legal and that law stands. But then you're saying that what Donald Trump's advisors are talking about looks more like George W. Bush's program, NSEERS, that's National Security Entry Exit Registration System. Tell us more about that. This was post 9/11.
Right. And this is incredibly important because I think Kris Kobach is explicitly referencing this program. And what he's saying is, look, this is not Japanese internment. This is a program that existed and was actually in effect. Most people didn't know about it, but that the point of this program was to take certain groups. I think that there were 25 countries, so this doesn't target Muslim. It just so happens that 24 of the 25 countries on the list were Muslim-majority countries. And then you would have these people who are here on non-immigrant visas have to check in. They would be interrogated. They would be fingerprinted. And I should add that while a lot of these people were swept up and deported as a result of this program, Robin, it was for trivial immigration infractions, not for terrorist activities. And one of the reasons that the program went defunct in 2011 wasn't simply because we didn't need it anymore, but it was considered repetitive, it was expensive, and it achieved none of the aims in terms of fighting terrorism that it was purported to be doing. And now we're holding it up as the model of something we could constitutionally do.
And again, this program was from 2002 to 2011. And if I'm hearing this correctly, this would have been for immigrants to this country. It would not have detected any of the American-born terrorist attackers on this country in the last several years.
That's right. It was a way of tracking new immigrants who are visiting. As you'll recall, one of the things that Trump campaigned on is that we are not vetting correctly all these refugees we're taking in from Syria. And so this is what he's calling a vetting program. One other thing that really bears saying, Robin, is that this program has been challenged and it's been found to be constitutionally permissible. Again, on this principle we talked about at the beginning, which is on these sorts of issues of immigration and national security, the courts give broad latitude to the president when he says something is going to protect national security.
So permissible, legal, because of several court rulings, both with the FDR decision and more recently with George W. Bush's program. And I can hear Trump supporters saying, finally, you know, we will do the thing that makes them feel safe. We hear that. But there's also a whiff for other people of what? Of, you know, where are your papers and Jews registering in Nazi Germany?
I think that's right, Robin, and I think that's why a lot of groups are incredibly alarmed. You're hearing leadership in the ACLU and Muslim American groups and other groups saying, if there's going to be a registry, sign me up first. I want to be on that registry as well. And I would just tell listeners, it's worth going back and reading the dissents in that Korematsu decision from 1944, where the dissenting justices in really prescient ways warn that it is profoundly un-American to start to judge people based on race or religion or country of origin. We don't do that in this country. We judge people based on their individual actions.
Well, another question would be which countries? Because would France and Britain be having to, and anyone who came from those countries have to register because there have been so many attacks in those countries?
Well, as I've suggested, the program that existed in the Bush era had 25 countries. 24 of them were majority Muslim country, and only one was not. So I think that what you're going to see is versions of that continue, although you're quite right. This doesn't sweep in potential terrorists from all sorts of European countries. I think it's also important to reflect, Robin, on the fact that this is a way of getting around a religious test, which Trump originally proposed, right? He wanted to register just Muslims. You can say that's clearly unconstitutional. It is not unconstitutional to do this based on country of origin if you presuppose that that country of origin is dangerous. And so that's kind of the pivot here, is that instead of saying we're going to do this to all Muslims, you just do it based on countries that you deem to be security threats.
That's Dahlia Lithwick, who covers courts and the law for Slate. Dahlia, thanks as always.
Thank you for having me.
And by the way, Dahlia said Justice Scalia once said the decision to allow internment was as bad as the Dred Scott decision. That was the 1857 ruling that a slave could not sue for his freedom or have any rights.